Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Thursday, September 3rd, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is AI created and independently fact-checked. Here is a calm, clear look at the stories shaping the day. A brief weather note before we begin. Former Tropical Storm Edward is still bringing dangerous flooding to eastern Texas. The storm weakened into a tropical depression after landfall, but parts of Hardin County received roughly 18 to 20 inches of rain over 2 days. Rescues, power outages, road closures, and flood warnings continued overnight. If you are in the affected area, do not drive through standing water and follow local emergency guidance. The rain totals illustrate why a storm's wind classification is not the only hazard. Floodwater can cut off neighborhoods and make familiar roads impassable long after the center has moved inland. Local alerts, closures, and first responder instructions are the practical guide here. In Washington, President Trump has signed a stopgap spending bill that keeps federal agencies operating through December 11th. The House passed the measure 370-48 on Tuesday after the Senate approved it in August. The law avoids an October 1st funding lapse at the start of the new fiscal year. It generally extends existing spending levels while lawmakers have yet to complete any of the 12 annual appropriations bills for fiscal year 2027. That is the immediate practical effect. Federal operations can continue without another shutdown this fall. It also means the underlying fights over spending, immigration enforcement, health policy, and the federal debt have been deferred into December. The national debt crossed $40 trillion last month, and affordability remains a central concern for voters heading toward the November 3rd elections. A continuing resolution is a temporary bridge, not a full budget settlement. It gives agencies short-term operating certainty while leaving the regular appropriations process unfinished. The calendar now puts added pressure on lawmakers to reach decisions before the new deadline. On immigration and citizenship, a federal judge in Maryland has blocked the administration's newest effort to limit birthright citizenship. Judge Deborah Boardman issued a preliminary injunction while a class action case brought by immigrant families and advocacy groups proceeds. The administration said its narrower executive order was aimed at birth tourism. It sought to deny automatic citizenship in certain cases involving people entering the country to give birth, people tied to foreign embassies or organizations, and people considered alien enemies. Judge Boardman wrote that the Supreme Court had already made clear that children in the certified class are citizens at birth. Birthright citizenship is guaranteed under current law for people born on U.S. soil, subject to limited exceptions, under the 14th Amendment. The ruling is preliminary, not a final decision on the case, and the administration can appeal. The court's action preserves the legal status quo for the people included in the certified class while the case is litigated. It does not resolve every constitutional argument surrounding the executive order, which is why the appeal process matters. In Minneapolis, authorities are investigating a shooting at a downtown apartment building that killed 2 people and left the suspected shooter dead. 5 people were wounded by gunfire, including 2 Minneapolis police officers. A 3rd officer was injured in another way. Police said the first 911 call came shortly after 4:30 Wednesday afternoon. Officers entered the building within minutes, followed gunfire to a higher floor, and encountered conditions that limited visibility. 1 officer was shot in the leg, and another was shot 2 times in the abdomen. Authorities said all 3 injured officers were in stable condition and expected to recover. The identities and motive had not been released as this briefing was prepared. The important point this morning is that the immediate scene was secured, while investigators work to establish what led to the violence. With the motive still unknown, officials are distinguishing confirmed details from information that remains under investigation. That restraint is important in the early hours of a violent incident, when accounts and evidence can change. Arizona authorities have provided a more definite finding in the deadly shooting outside the Venture N gay bar in Tucson. Police say it was a targeted attack motivated by hate toward the LGBTQIA+ community. 2 men, Vincent Anthony Siqueiros and Cameron Davis Capera, were killed in the parking lot early Monday. The suspected gunman, Usman Cisse, later died from a gunshot wound. Police say he did not know the victims. Detectives found a note indicating that he acted alone and had targeted LGBTQIA+ people. They also said the note listed other LGBTQIA+ associated businesses. The investigation remains open, but police say there is no known ongoing threat and have increased patrols around gay-friendly businesses in the area. The finding gives the case broader significance beyond the individual attack. It also explains why police are pairing the investigation with visible precautions for businesses and community spaces identified with the LGBTQIA+ community. A major antitrust case delivered Google an important legal win, though not a clean sweep. U.S. District Judge Leonie Brinkema ruled that Google will not be forced to break up its advertising technology business. The Justice Department in 17 states sued Google in 2023. Alleging that it unlawfully maintained monopolies in parts of the system that helps publishers sell online display advertising and helps advertisers buy it. The court had previously found Google liable in key parts of that case. Wednesday's remedies ruling calls for changes to Google's conduct, but rejects the government's proposed structural breakup, including a forced sale of its ad exchange business. The detailed remedies are under seal for now. That matters because the case could still reshape the digital ad market even without a divestiture, and the Justice Department must decide whether to appeal. The ruling concerns the infrastructure behind much of the display ad market, rather than the ads people see on a particular website. Publishers, advertisers, and technology providers rely on those systems to match advertising space with buyers. Any conduct rules can therefore have effects across a large and interconnected market. In New York City, Mayor Zoran Mamdani announced a one-year moratorium on student-facing generative AI tools for elementary and middle school students. The policy will apply through eighth grade in the nation's largest public school system. The city says it is the broadest prohibition of its kind in the country. At the same time, high school students will receive AI literacy instruction twice a year. Some supervised high school pilot programs will be allowed, while companion chatbots will be barred across all grades. The policy reflects the difficult balance schools are trying to strike. Educators want students to understand powerful new tools, but they are also weighing cheating, over-reliance, privacy, developmental concerns, and the value of face-to-face learning. Teachers will still be allowed to use AI for planning and operational work. By separating younger students from high school instruction and limited pilots, the city is trying to set different guardrails for different stages of learning. The one-year period also gives officials time to assess how the policy works in classrooms, and the Supreme Court has allowed construction on President Trump's proposed White House ballroom to continue while lawsuits proceed. The apparent 5-4 order replaces a temporary stay that had kept work moving earlier in August. The administration describes the roughly $400 million project as a ballroom and military complex with national security benefits. The National Trust for Historic Preservation argues that the project, which includes the demolished East Wing, requires congressional approval. Chief Justice John Roberts dissented with the court's three liberal justices. He wrote that the project was likely unlawful because Congress had not approved it. The majority concluded that the preservation group was unlikely to have legal standing to challenge the project. The ruling does not finally decide the underlying legality, but construction can continue as the litigation moves ahead. The split order turns on procedure and standing at this stage, rather than a final ruling on the project's merits. The legal dispute will continue even as work proceeds. Overseas, the most immediate international concern remains the widening exchange between the United States and Iran around the Strait of Hormuz. U.S. Central Command says it completed strikes Tuesday against Iranian Revolutionary Guard targets, including air defense sites, radar systems, maritime assets, mine-laying capabilities, and communication sites. CENTCOM said the action followed attempted Iranian attacks on commercial shipping in the Strait and on American service members. Iran then fired on U.S. allies in the Gulf, according to reporting from the region. Iranian state media said one American strike hit a wedding party, causing deaths and injuries. That specific claim has not been independently verified in the information available for this briefing. The stakes are substantial. The Strait of Hormuz is a critical energy shipping route, and prolonged disruption can affect oil prices, insurance costs, regional security, and U.S. military personnel. The situation remains fast-moving, so treat casualty reports and claims from all sides with appropriate caution. Commercial traffic through the Strait is watched closely because disruptions can quickly ripple beyond the Gulf. Even without a sustained closure, threats and military activity can alter routing decisions and raise the cost of moving cargo. That is why confirmation matters as the competing accounts develop. A second international story with direct implications for U.S. energy policy is Venezuela. The White House says a new agreement gives North American Blue Energy Partners 100-year concessions for 17 Venezuelan oil fields with approximately 65 billion barrels of proven reserves. The administration says the United States will receive governance rights, economic ownership, and low-cost access to oil under the arrangement. Chevron has separately confirmed that it is expanding operations in Venezuela. The company says its three joint ventures there have increased production 15% so far this year. The agreement is ambitious, but it also faces serious questions. Venezuela's acting government has described the arrangement differently from Washington in public statements, and analysts note that rebuilding the country's oil sector would take years and major investment. The political durability and legal authority behind a 100-year concession will be closely watched. Proven reserves describe oil identified in the ground under specified conditions. They do not mean that production can be restored quickly or cheaply. Fieldwork, infrastructure, financing, and a stable operating environment all shape what an agreement can deliver. Now to the economy and markets. These are final closing figures from Wednesday, September 2nd, the most recent completed U.S. trading session. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 295.07 points, or 0.6%, to close at 53,061.95. The S&P 500 gained 35.13 points, or 0.5%, to finish at 7,666.60. The Nasdaq Composite added 118.05 points, also about 0.5%, to close at 26,217.83. Those were final closes, not futures or intraday readings. Stocks rebounded after a three-session slide as large technology companies rose and bond yields steadied. Nvidia gained more than 3%. The 10-year Treasury yield eased slightly to 4.78%. Brent crude settled at $95.63 a barrel as the Iran conflict continued. The business story to watch is Uber's plan to cut 10% of its workforce. The company had about 36,600 employees worldwide as of June 30th, so the reduction represents roughly 3,700 positions. Chief Executive Dara Khosrowshahi said in an employee memo that Uber is removing management layers, simplifying team structures, refining its location strategy, and concentrating investment on its largest opportunities. The company did not cite artificial intelligence as the cause of the cuts. Uber says it is performing well and plans to reinvest savings in growth and innovation, but the changes are notable because they include a sharp reduction in middle management layers and an end to remote work for most employees. The company says only about 1% of employees will remain remote going forward. For workers across the technology and platform economy, it is another reminder that organizational restructuring is continuing even at profitable companies. The announcement pairs job cuts with a broader change in how the company expects teams to be organized and where employees will work. For affected workers, those are separate but related parts of the same restructuring. In sports, the NBA has imposed exceptionally severe penalties on the Los Angeles Clippers after an independent investigation found salary cap circumvention violations. The league suspended owner Steve Ballmer from all league and team activities for 1 year, fined the Clippers $30 million, and stripped the franchise of 5 first-round draft picks from 2029 through 2033. Kawhi Leonard was ordered to pay a $700,000 penalty. President of Basketball Operations Lawrence Frank was suspended for 6 months, and President of Business Operations Jillian Zucker was suspended for 1 year. The NBA said the Clippers initiated and facilitated off-court income opportunities for Leonard, induced companies to enter those agreements by offering team business, paid personal expenses, and failed to report improper solicitations. The Clippers have rejected the findings and say they will challenge them. The NBA and players' union say the penalties are final and binding. The decision is a major test of the league's rules on player compensation and competitive balance. At the U.S. Open in New York, Carlos Alcaraz and Ben Shelton both moved into the third round. Alcaraz recovered from a difficult opening set against Portugal's Jaime Faria, winning 4-6, 6-0, 6-3, 6-2. Shelton, the eighth-seeded American, beat Hubert Hurkacz 6-3, 5-7, 7-6, 7-5 in a four-set match at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Jessica Pegula also advanced with a 6-3, 6-1 win over Sofia Kenin in an All-American match. The tournament's second round continues to shape a draw that remains strong for several of the biggest names in both singles fields. Here is a quick roundup of 5 notable results from Wednesday. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Angels 6-3 in 10 innings. The Cardinals topped the Dodgers 8-6 and 10. The Brewers defeated the Cubs 9-5. At the U.S. Open, Alcaraz beat Faria in 4 sets after dropping the opener, and Pegula defeated Kenin in straight sets, 6-3, 6-1. Finally, in entertainment, the 83rd Venice Film Festival is underway in Italy. George Clooney was honored as the festival opened, and the program begins 11 days of premieres, awards campaigning, and high-profile films. Danny Boyle's film Inc., centered on media magnate Rupert Murdoch, opened the festival. The lineup also includes documentaries and features addressing Gaza, Ukraine, independent Russian journalists, and Elon Musk. Jury President Maggie Gyllenhaal said the current events reflected in many of the selected films make empathy especially important. Venice is not simply a red carpet event. It is an early marker for the international awards season and a place where studios test serious films before audiences and critics. This year's program also arrives as the industry debates how artificial intelligence, media consolidation, and changing distribution economics will shape filmmaking. That is your Thursday briefing. Follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this calm morning summary with one person who would value it. I'm Mark Ellison. Thanks for listening and take care.